The Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly.
Call in to John and Tommy and get your voice heard. 877-377-6963. This is The Morning Rush.
All right, welcome back into The Morning Rush. Okay, so I can go back to calling it everyone's favorite segment of the day now that Nick's actually here.
The last 3 days, we certainly made it everyone's favorite segment.
That's right.
We elevated
the performance of the segment.
Not what I heard.
And I also kept Nick's PSA going.
Man, you need to read the message boards, man.
It's, not what I heard.
They love us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway. I went to a restaurant yesterday, and they did not speak very highly of you guys doing my segment.
Mm. Well, luckily you're back to save.
Like they're going to start calling it six in the lane because this segment was twice as good. It's going to be six in the lane.
I mean, he told everybody to not text and drive. I mean, he did everything you'd want him to do.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And the content was even better. Yeah. Well, it is time though for everyone's favorite segment of the day: Three in the Lane with Nick Mason, presented by Razorback Camper Sales.
Summertime is camping time. Razorback Camper Sales is your place for all your travel trailer, fifth wheel, and pop-up needs. They've been doing it for 49 summers, so they are ready to take care of you. Family-owned, family-operated. You're not going to get any hassles. It's a low-pressure buying experience when you stop in at Razorback Camper Sales. Exit 1 off the bypass in Hot Springs or anytime online at RazorbackCamperSales.com.
Is anyone up for a game of basketball?
Three in the Lane with Nick Mason.
Kids, do not text and drive.
See, that's pretty good. That's what I think it to clearly a new level.
Kids, all took.
Kids, do not text and drive. What is going on with the Western Kentucky men's basketball program?
They're recruiting the right way?
Following I saw all the rules? Yesterday, quick, what conference is Western Kentucky in?
Sunbelt?
Yeah.
No.
Oh. And they used to be in the Sun Belt.
And the only thing I know is that they're not in the Sun Belt. I'm not sure what conference they're in either. I'm pretty sure it's Conference USA. Okay. But I'm not. I just know they're not in the Sun Belt. Why is there a team that you don't know what conference they're in constantly landing five stars?
They have a coach named Rick Stansberry.
I look up and there's a kid that I've seen out and about on the circuit, and a lot of coaches have also seen him. John Calipari's seen him, Shaka Smart, Tom Izzo, Coach K. There's Nick just Mason. A ton of guys, Nick Mason, a ton of people
right in all that group,
have seen this kid play. And so you're thinking like, oh, okay, you know, maybe he goes this, or maybe he goes, you know, or maybe he goes to North Carolina, or maybe he does this. He's going to Western Kentucky.
Yep.
And not only that, but they've convinced him to reclassify to the 2018 class and come join Western Kentucky for next year. So not only are you going to a school that I guarantee you a lot of the fans out there didn't know what conference they were in either, and you're a five-star kid going to this school, but you reclassified to go a year early to Western Kentucky. And if everybody can remember, Western pulled another five-star or had a five-star kid. It didn't really pan out as far as he got to campus and he wanted to leave. Then he tried to come back or whatever. But that's neither here nor there. This is the second kid that they've gotten of this caliber in two seasons. Western Kentucky?
What are you suggesting then? What do you think has happened?
Oh, I really don't know. And the reason I'm saying that is because do I think that Stansberry wrote a $100,000 check to get this kid? No. I do not think that's how he got this kid. But what I'm wondering is, I mean, did he hire
if it wasn't $100,000, how big was it?
Yeah. Did he hire the kids? I mean, did he hire somebody in the kids' family? Does he have a connect? How are these relationships being taken advantage of? Because I want Arkansas to take advantage of relationships.
Yeah, what loophole does Rick Stansberry know of that some of these other guys aren't or unwilling to take a chance on?
You know, now it's not even a loophole. Like, it's common, or not even common practice, but now people will come out and flat out hire your dad, your brother, your uncle, your mother, whatever. Because I mean, it's not against the rules. And if you look at Missouri, who'd they hire? Michael Porter Jr.'s dad. And along with him, Michael Porter Jr. came, and also his younger brother came. And I don't know if this is one of those deals, but, man, hey, congratulations to Western Kentucky. Stansberry, always liked him at Mississippi State. He somehow found a way to get a ton of talent. If you go back and look at some of the old Mississippi rosters and look at who he was able to get.
My favorite,
down
Renardo
there
Sidney.
To play basketball.
Renardo Sidney, man.
Yeah.
That guy threw many expletives at me. In the student section and gave me the finger. So I will always remember Bernardo Sidney. But, no, that he had some great talent. And even when he was at A&M as an assistant coach, yeah. I mean, they were bringing in some.
They had some of their best recruiting classes that they've had. Yeah. And watch now that he's no longer there, I bet they don't recruit quite at the same level as they did whenever he was there. But, hey, congratulations to those guys. Yeah. I'm still kind of scratching my head. Not only did you get a five-star, but you got a kid to reclassify.
Yeah.
So he's going to school a year early to go play. Once again, I can see if you're going to Duke or Carolina or Kentucky. I can even see if you're reclassifying to come to Arkansas. But you reclassify to go to a school that 50 to 75% of the people on this show didn't even know what conference they're in. And that's not against y'all. Like,
yeah.
Who would know? Western Kentucky's never on TV.
What's sad is I should know. And that's where my brother actually graduated college, is at Western Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
So, big basketball school, man. I mean, they love basketball, and they've had a couple of years.
So that's how they got him.
Yeah.
It's your brother's fault.
Yep. You know, the whole mob mentality, the whole family crime.
You couldn't have got him coming to Arkansas?
Yeah. Well, you know, Arkansas didn't give him his education to make him the man he is today. Guess that you could only get that in the great city of Bowling Green, Kentucky. That was the way to help him out. But we're going to continue our conversation. Second hour coming up next. Stay with us.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
Razorback videos, articles, and podcasts. Find them all at hitthatline.com. This is the Morning Rush.
Welcome back into the Morning Rush. Appreciate everybody listening in this morning. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason, Tyler Wilson, all bringing it to you this morning. It's going to be a fun-filled show, and we're going to continue discussing that here in just a second. But first, I got to tell you about Williams Tractor and the Raptor Zero-Turn Mower from Hustler. That'll give you the perfectly manicured cut you want with the power, strength, and speed of a professional zero-turn mower. You can quickly maneuver around obstacles with ease, which, of course, allows you to maneuver around life's most difficult obstacle, time. Hustler Turf Quality Tools designed to improve quality of life. You can find the entire line of Hustler residential and commercial zero-turn mowers at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville and Berryville, and Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas in Rogers. We got Nick, who we got here? We got Mark. It's on the phone? No Mark's on the phone line. Okay. Well, then we'll get to that here in just a second. But, you know, we were talking a little bit, you know, when it comes up to this weekend, of course, baseball, we're going to get back into that as well with Arkansas in the College World Series. But another thing I wanted to bring up, too, is did you see the new NCAA rule that was put into place for football?
No.
You can play four games.
Yes.
Before you redshirt. I'm glad you actually brought that up.
That's one of them. Yeah, and the other one, too, was
the transfer rules.
Yes, the transfer.
I was saying the transfer stuff that it was getting discussed a lot.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's eliminating the permission to contact process when a student-athlete transfers programs. Coaches can no longer block players from going to specific schools. They'll have the ability to transfer without asking for permission is one of the things, too. They don't have to ask for it.
And what, there's a two-day time limit a coach had to get the paperwork filled out, or
within two business days of the request,
get it started. Yeah,
yeah. Well, so
and now I have a question on that. So, can the conferences still block in conference deals? Because I didn't think that it was a coach deal. I thought it was more of like the SEC doesn't want players to transfer in conference basketball.
Well,
or football. So now, is that thrown out as well?
Well, David Williams, South Carolina, came from South Carolina and played at Arkansas, running back.
Right. with the permission
of.
And
it was a graduate deal. What?
But it is a grad, true.
Yeah.
But
it was
I mean,
grad transfer.
Yeah. So, but I think what this rule is really trying to get more after is just routine, not graduate transfers, but and that's a good point. But they're trying to get after the guy that's just not happy with his playing time at one school wanting to go to another.
No, yeah. Ideally, this rule affects or potentially benefits a younger player. You know, somebody in his freshman year that has all of a sudden a coaching change in the first 6 months of, you know, his time on campus and go, man, I came to Arkansas and all of a sudden they had a coaching change and I want the ability to mm-hmm. you know, to flexibility to move. And currently you don't necessarily have that flexibility. And the time periods of which that sometimes they go about it are not adequate for the player.
Yeah, and it's like, I think it's in good taste. And then, you know, the NCAA, we scrutinize them for pretty much everything because they suck at nearly everything and as far as their rulings and their decisions and what they do. But I feel like this was a smart move. And I know that the transfer rule is a big one, but the thing that Nick brought up, too, where you can play four games
like that
in
too.
College football and still, or as long as you don't play full four games, you can still be redshirt, which I do, too. Because here's the thing that I like about it is that in postseason play, if you want to get some true freshmen some experiences in those bowl games that are pretty meaningless, you know, try to get them some, they can get thrown in there and not lose their redshirt status.
Now, I didn't read the full rule. So is it just a flat, you can play four games and you can continue?
Less than four games.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know, though. I think to the injury, I mean, I'm with you. I had a medical red shirt for a similar, you know, reason, and I played two games as a true freshman. You know, I think that's, you know, as we kind of just talk about this topic, I played against Alabama and Texas as a true freshman and still got a medical red shirt. And
why didn't you pick some harder games?
I know, right? But wasn't ULM or any of these other guys? It was Alabama and Texas when they were good. Texas when they were good. That was
isn't that the year they both played the national title too?
That is.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Congratulations.
So, yeah. But my point is, you know, that fifth year, maybe it shouldn't have existed, but in the event, it was a positive for me. And you know, it allows players.
Wait, if you'd have been forced to go to the draft and avoid 2012,
that's why I laughed a little bit. So, but from a lot of athletes' perspective, that fifth year is huge, and you still got to get in and get playing time. It was valuable. There's no question it was valuable. But there's no reason that year should have counted against me. You know, so there's players where this makes sense. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and just as a reminder too, that student athletes still have 5 years to complete four seasons of competition. So that, you know, that stuff hasn't changed or anything like that. But you know, it's I think it really opens up some doors, and I don't see a negative to it. And especially if you're, you know, trying to get some young guys and trying to figure out your team early, because even like for this, like for instance, this year with Chad Morris, when you have, I guess the opening three games are probably going to be your easiest games. Still trying to figure some things out. You know, there may be some guys that you want to put in the game and see how they go, and then if they don't end up working out, or if you can tell that they're really raw, need a lot more help, then you just take them back and say, hey, we're redshirting you this year, and you save that extra year, too, which really benefits both causes.
Yeah, and this is for the kid, though. I mean, the NCAA is getting, because especially football, with as much injury that happens in football, they're getting requests daily, and they've got a full roster of kids that, okay, well, we had a true freshman playing in his first two games, gets hurt, first three games, gets hurt, and you're constantly having to appeal. And then you'll have one kid that's at the fourth game, and one kid is at the, you know, three games and a quarter, and the guy at three games and a quarter gets it, and the guy at just above four games gets, you know, unfortunately, he played a quarter more, so he doesn't get eligibility. You know, that's what they're having to deal with, and I think they had to put the line somewhere. And the fourth game, I guess, made sense to them.
Well, and now schools don't have to come up with some obscure illness or some, you know, other, you know, this guy had, I don't know, mono or something in order to get him their red shirt, you know.
Yeah. It makes it a more of an easier, streamlined
type
of way.
Here it is. Here's the rule.
Yeah.
Whether they're sick, whether they're injured, whether they're perfectly healthy and
whatever
just played,
the
here's the rule.
Yeah.
Four games.
Doesn't matter.
And here's the other thing, and everybody wants to say, well, the NCAA this and the NCAA that. They're bad. They're awful. Well, who is the NCAA? Who voted on this stuff?
Yeah, it's made up of schools.
It's the schools. Yeah. So we want to blame the NCAA for everything we don't like. And then, you know, it's just the schools making the rules, you know. So, you know, if you don't like the rules, blame the schools because they're the ones voting on all this stuff. And now we like some rules they put in, but who put them in? The schools. You know, it's still schools, administrators, coaches that get these things done.
Yeah.
Good or bad.
It just seems like that, you know, for a long time and for a lot of different rules that are put into place or rules that you're wanting to be put in place but haven't yet for whatever reason, people just get frustrated because they're like, well, what's the deal? What's the holdup? Why is it this? Why is it that? And it's maybe the openness and communication and the transparency of the NCAA that gets on people's nerves more than anything. Is it just because people keep wondering, how does Ole Miss just get hammered or USC get hammered with these violations and all that, but North Carolina in basketball,
now, enforcement,
and whatever.
Enforcement's one other thing.
Yes.
But, you know, rulemaking, the NCAA doesn't just make up their own rules.
Mm-hmm.
Schools make them up.
It's a matter of following up on those rules and enforcing those rules, I think, is the biggest thing, too. So, but, no, when I saw the storyline, I thought it was a good thing. I thought that it was a positive for once.
For a school like Arkansas, I'm sure Alabama's going to play some of their six-star freshmen that come in there.
I'm sure. Special teams.
You know, but for Arkansas, at least for certain games, it's going to give you more depth. And you, as a coach, Tyler, you got to figure out, Chad Moore's got to figure out how I want to utilize them. Do I want to not play them early and let these guys develop and maybe they can help me in the last four games of the year? Do I want to play them in the non-conference games and play them early and then sit? I mean, I guess each individual will be handled differently based on how you think you can develop that player best.
Yeah, you know,
and help the team.
There has to be some exclusion in the wording. You know, there has to be some sort of physical reason for why they don't. I mean, there's got to be a technical portion of this because the fact that Alabama or any of your other major programs can just play freshmen and play them three games in three quarters and all of a sudden say, you're just not ready, you're going to redshirt, this doesn't seem par to me. And so I want us to look into the wording on that a little bit more. There's got to be some kind of physical prescribed reason why they're not going to be able to play or why there is, and you could come up with those for a lot of athletes, but I just don't know how I feel about programs using players for three games and three quarters just to satisfy some playing time and then they still get the red shirt. I just don't know how I feel about that, but and I think the NCAA should have probably or if we look into it, probably has some exclusion due to you can't just play them to play them.
Yeah, I'm sure that the intentions are good,
right.
But you know that there are going to be people out there that try to abuse that rule and try to, you know, make it to their own benefit too, which, you know, goes hand in hand with pretty much everything that the NCAA enforces. But but we'll talk about this more as the show goes on. 877-377-6963. More of the Morning Rush coming up next. Stay with us.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
Broadcasting live from the Toyota studios.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio?
Yes, talk radio.
It's so boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
HitThatLine.com.
I got that wood.
This.
Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Is.
Smile.
The Morning Rush.
In my wrong, because I want to get it on till I die. In my wrong, because I want to get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me. Y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors.
Kentucky fans are so classy that they take the dishes out of the sink before they pee in it.
Tommy Kraft.
Tavita, Tualaka Ogno, Tualapa Opano, Moses Etamo, Bahi Ono, Bihokeo, Balaito.
O'Toole.
I think I nailed it.
And Nick Mason.
I'm going to invite all my closest friends to play golf, and Tommy Kraft, John Neighbors are not part of that group.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
1 hour down, 2 hours to go. Appreciate everybody listening in on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason, Tyler Wilson, all bringing it to you today. And thank you, as always, for making us a part of your morning this morning. Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette will be joining us around 7:45 this morning. Richard Davenport for his recruiting segment around 8:15 as well. And the theme of this show today has been just a simple question to all of you out there is, why do you hate Texas? We've had a lot of great tweets. We've had some phone calls come in and all the reasons of why people hate Texas. And one of the ones that I thought was most interesting, and this actually came through on Twitter because it got the most likes in the response to it, this comes from Turnt Woldridge. He's kind of a Twitter famous guy, too. But he says, why do I hate Texas? Well, I hate Texas because it is my birthright, because it is what I was raised to do. Also, Texas is a very easy state to hate. The aristocratic sons of senators who survey the rest of college sports from atop their ivory and burnt orange tower situated on 40 acres, their hook'em horns gesture simply the natural progression of a group whose pinkies were already in the air. Yes, I hate them. It's getting pretty specific with the reasons why people really hate Texas, and a lot of it has to do with just that's what they raised to do. Somebody said that they are the Draymond Green of college football. They're just the ones that you're so easy to hate for many different reasons, so... Somebody just says, have you met them? That's why a shade of orange makes me want to vomit. It's amazing. I mean, it truly is amazing just the hatred that flows out when it comes to Arkansas fans going against Texas. But they do play each other in the College World Series this weekend in Game 1. Texas have had a lot of success in college baseball. Was it 36 College World Series appearances?
Yeah, more than anybody. And it's not even Miami's next at 20-something.
That's just unreal. I mean, that's truly unreal. I mean, you could even make the argument that they're a baseball school. I mean, right now.
I think they definitely have been. I mean, historically.
Yeah. I know that football is the main sport there, but, you know, past 10 years have not been too friendly to the Texas Longhorns. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've had a couple years here and there, but certainly have gone downhill, too. And that's what's the craziest thing about it as well, is I just feel like a school like Texas, there's never a reason why they should never be average in a single sport, especially in football. And basketball never really picked it up either. Like, they had a couple. They had Kevin Durant come there, which I know that was that 1 year. Things were really good. I think they made it to the Elite Eight that year. Maybe the Final Four. I'm not totally sure. But then they had another year. They made it to the Final Four, too. But, you know, they started dropping off a little bit. And it's just one of those schools that I just don't understand why they should ever be bad in a single sport.
You know, what's really weird, it's like Texas and Tennessee, really similar. You know, they fire legendary coaches, or they exit legendary coaches. And seems like they haven't been able to get it together since. Obviously, yeah. Tennessee with Phil Fulmer, and Texas with Mack Brown, and I mean even some of the teams, you know, you go back to the Vince Young team. You had remarkable athletes on that football field to beat the USC team at the Rose Bowl. You look at the Colt McCoy. Who was his sidekick, wide receiver? Jordan Shipley.
Yeah, Shipley.
I mean, but you had Colt McCoy and Shipley, but you had Arakpo. You had about six guys on the offense and defensive fronts that all got drafted in like the first two rounds of the draft that year. They had major players. You just don't see them. You don't see them doing that anymore. I think too, the changing of the game, as you will, being, you know, what we're doing now at Arkansas with Chad Morris has affected negatively the University of Texas. It's like I've sat and barked about for 3 years. It's evened the playing field. It's evened the game. And Texas was, you know, for years so much more powerful and got to get the best players and the biggest guys and the toughest guys and all those guys. Well, now... In this style of game, it doesn't necessarily matter as much as it has in years past. And you're really recruiting the state of Texas. You're recruiting players, and those guys are more fluid than they've ever been. And you know, Alabama's obviously still maintained, you know, the strength even though the change of the game. But I mean, Texas is one of those programs that really hasn't maintained that. And I think that's interesting to kind of continue to keep our eye on, But, you know, they've got so many players in Texas that physicality that used to matter there doesn't anymore.
Yeah, and I like how you bring that up, too, because even if you look at some of the other smaller schools in the state that have elevated their football programs here recently, obviously TCU, I mean, there's times where they were just dominating teams. I mean, playing for, at least competing for national championship, never got to play in one, but always in BCS bowl games. Baylor, I know that they had those huge issues going on there, those horrible issues. But as far as on the field went, they were incredible. I mean, they had RG3, a Heisman Trophy winner. They had a lot of success there. Texas Tech even had a few years when you had Mike Leach over there. I mean, you just had all these different teams that started elevating their programs a little bit in the state of Texas. And I think that that's also what hurt Texas in their competitiveness as well.
Well, and think about it. I mean, it's all happened within the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when has Texas been bad at football?
Last 10 years, essentially.
Last 10 years. And you've got the Mike Leaches of the world that all started in this high school, Todd Dodge, all these guys that started in these campfire high school communities that left those high schools and left all their relationships in the high schools, and they went to colleges. And now they've got direct recruiting lifebloods into this new system, this new way of playing that's never been, you know, really taught or done before. And that's how you get Texas Tech with Michael Crabtree and Graham and all those guys to play and be as effective as they've ever been in the history of their school. And TCU and Baylor and Texas A&M for that matter with Johnny Manziel. I mean, so you see, and all of those influences have directly taken impact on Texas college and high school football.
Which is going back to, if you want to relate it to Arkansas, Chad Morris, like you brought up, that's where a lot of the, I guess it's unknowingness, because no one really knows how good Chad Morris is going to be, but it's also why there's a lot of promise, too, because Arkansas with Chad Morris is going to try to mimic, or at least try to capture some of the success that those other programs have, because they're going about it the same route. They're getting a high school type of coach when it comes to his philosophy and mentality. He's a guy who went through the ranks, coached a lot of good offenses, and now they're inserting him, and they're wanting to maybe be the next TCU or Baylor or Texas Tech or whatever when it comes to on-the-field success by going along with that philosophy, because obviously it's worked for those Texas teams, and I know that people don't like to hear it, but Arkansas, as far as culture, as far as, you know, the amount of students that attend the University of Arkansas, as the connections, they're as close to a Texas school not being in Texas
probably
as you could probably get.
Yeah, and, you know, my argument is it probably should have happened 10 years ago, but better late than never, you know. So, I mean, you'd like to be on the forefront of innovation and change, but, you know, you're kind of behind the eight ball trying to catch up now. You know, it is what it is. I mean, I think Chad's is good. I know how we stumble into a football topic here. But you're as I think you're in as good a position as any to capitalize on it now. But as that relates to football and, you know, and or baseball and Texas as a whole, obviously I think that's where you're seeing some of the biggest impacts.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I just really like how when you look at Texas and people were, I think, what was it, Clay Henry says that, you know, things are good in life when Texas football, Texas basketball, Texas baseball all suck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, baseball obviously is not sucking too bad right now, but they have been a shade of themselves recently too. And because I think there also was something to be said if you were a high school kid and it was like, oh, even if Texas A&M and TCU and all these programs were coming after you, until you got an offer from Texas, that's when you knew you were big time. Well, you know, things have changed and the shift has happened in college football, which is, again, to why I love college football and why I constantly, when we're, again, relating it to Arkansas, and I know we're talking football a lot, but hey, that's fine with me. You can always talk football. But that's why if you can always have hope if you're a place like an Arkansas or anywhere else, because so many times people are saying you have way too many things going against you. You don't have the prestige. You don't have this, that, and the other of why you can't be successful at football, why you can't compete for a national championship. Just know your place. Well, if that was the case for all programs in a place like TCU or a place like Baylor or, you know, all these other schools that have found success, that
Boise
have been able
State.
To, yeah, Boise State, that have been able to elevate their games, they've done
Washington,
it.
Washington, Oregon.
Yeah, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. They've done it because there's a lot of transitions that happen in the sport of college football, and it's all about, can you be one of those teams that captures that transition and elevates your program? And, like, hopefully it's not too little too late for Chad Morris and the Arkansas Razorbacks, because I think, like you said, Tyler, they probably should have done this about 10 years ago. But It's a matter of everything has a place. Everything goes in turns. Who would have ever thought that Texas football would be bad for almost a decade? No one would have ever dreamed that, but it happened. Who would have thought that Alabama would be, you know, if we were talking about in the early 2000s, who would have thought Alabama would be winning five national titles in 9 years at some point? No one. But that it just things happen in the game of college football, and it always is a revolving door of things that can happen like that.
It tells you you can't stay on top forever.
That too.
And someday Alabama will not be doing what Alabama's doing right now.
It won't be when Nick Saban's coach, but once he leaves, yeah, that'll be the case. And there'll be a time where Arkansas's not going to be as down as they are right now. I mean,
last 6 years have been as anemic.
As bad as it ever has been.
In any of our lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
Not just listening, or not just on the show, but listening too. I mean, this goes back to the 40s?
Yeah.
There's been people do the research. This isn't like the Jack Crow era. I mean, this is like Jack Crow era times three, I mean, as far as the length of time.
When your best season is 8-5, your best season's a 5-loss season.
I think the span between 9-win seasons is the longest since like 1940 or 1950.
And that's also been a major problem. Now, granted, it was basically in one era of coaching. I know John L. Smith had one of those years, but it was under the Brett Bielema era of coaching. And a lot of times when you get rid of somebody, you try again. But the problem is that you don't want to end up in a situation like Texas, for instance, where
you missed twice.
Because you talk about really putting you by, or even Tennessee.
Then you go back to Tennessee. That's the deal.
Derek Dooley and Butch Jones. I mean, those hires, Butch Jones had a little more success than Derek Dooley. But those were just, catastrophic issues and catastrophic problems that those programs had, very historic programs. You know, so it's easy
to... And you wonder why coaches make what they make?
Yeah, exactly. And now, maybe they'll bounce back with Jeremy Pruitt. I don't know.
The good ones prove that they're worth every nickel, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then that's why you keep paying them every nickel that they're worth and then some to try to keep them into contact. So, but,
you pay the other ones three and a half, four...
Hoping
they're that good so you can someday pay them five.
That's right. Yeah, because here's the thing. If Chad Morris ends up being a rock star of a coach, which I know everyone's hoping he is... But if he ends up being that guy, then guess what? Arkansas is going to pay him whatever he wants to pay him. So that's going to be the case.
Hey, brought to you this morning by the Kevin Hickey Law Team, made up of experienced, caring individuals centered around divorce, child in custody, and DHS matters. They serve the Fort Smith and Northwest Arkansas areas. If you're in the River Valley, call 479-434-2414. North of the Tunnel, 479-802-6560. Experienced lawyers, they know what you're going through. They're caring. They can help you through your divorce, your child or custody matter, or working through DHS matters as well. KevinHickeyLaw.com for those phone numbers I just gave you. They got a great blog where you can read through some situations and get some advice there as well. It's all online at KevinHickeyLaw.com. Kevin Hickey Law, where clients are the main priority from start to finish.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
Follow the Morning Rush on Twitter, at Morning Rush Show. This is the Morning Rush.
Welcome back into the Morning Rush. Going to be talking with Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat as they get a little recruiting news in. But before we do, got to tell you about Williams Tractor and the Raptor Zero-Turn Mower from Hustler. It'll give you the perfectly manicured cut you want with the power, strength, and speed of a professional zero-turn mower. You can quickly maneuver around obstacles with ease, which, of course, allows you to maneuver around life's most difficult obstacle, time. Hustler Turf, quality tools designed to improve quality of life. You can find the entire line of Hustler Residential Commercial Zero Turn Mower at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville and Berryville, and Bobcat in Northwest Arkansas in Rogers. Let's go to the phone lines. Welcome in Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Good morning, Richard. How you doing, man?
Hey, guys.
Well, there's a lot of recruiting things going on, but I wanted to start with the new wide receiver that Arkansas has added. He was on Kansas. He's a grad transfer. He'll have 2 years of eligibility left. He's a big-time wide receiver, but as far as his measurables, but what can you tell us about him and what he may be able to add to this season?
Well, he's going to bring size. He's 6'4", about 220. Give you a bigger guy to, focus on, maybe in the red zone, especially getting down near the goal line, give you a little bit more vertical receiver who can go up and get the ball with his size. I saw him on on campus from a distance as I was walking by, and the kid looks like a tight end. He's a good looking kid, and he had a pretty good sophomore year at Kansas. I think 25 receptions, something like that, five or six touchdowns. But he was looking at SMU pretty heavily. It looked like at one time he's probably headed to SMU, and then Arkansas was able to get him on an official visit June 3rd through the 5th, and that pretty much took care of that. And he just realizes that there's a need for his type of ability on campus. So that is a good pickup because it gives you more of a seasoned receiver, and then, like I said earlier, a bigger receiver.
Well, over the weekend, Arkansas baseball was garnering all the attention, but there were some camps going on. And Arkansas has also had a couple, or at least a few, commitments to the football team. And I hope I pronounce this right. You've got Shamar Nash, who's a wide receiver, and then defensive end Mateo Soli. Both of those were on the radar, but now they've had their commitment to Arkansas, especially with Shamar Nash. It seems like a big get.
Yeah, both of them were big gets. Shamar was committed to Missouri, but he made an unofficial visit to Arkansas earlier this spring. And he told me that he pretty much knew he was going to flip. He just wanted to get back on campus and do it. And he's a bigger guy, about 6'2", 190. Just really good playmaking ability. Just fell in love with Coach Stepp. The relationship that he and the receivers coach, Coach Justin Stepp, have, probably one of the better ones I've ever heard. I mean, he just raves and raves about Coach Stepp. And that was one of the deciding factors. Mateo Soli, about 6'3", 230 pounds, 235 pounds. Definitely a very good rush-in type prospect who obviously has ties to the state. His dad, Junior, played for Arkansas back in the mid-90s. His mom, Karen's from Sparkman. He's got a lot of family in the state of Arkansas. But he kind of knew that he was probably going to commit coming in for that visit. But, whenever he goes public, that's always the best thing. He had more than 50 offers down to Arkansas, Auburn, and Florida, so he had a very, very impressive offer list.
Well, a lot of these camps have been going on, and I know people have been interested in them. I don't know much about them as far as what goes on, but I'm sure it's been a change from the previous regime. Just what goes on at these camps? What are the players involved? Who comes in? Just kind of an overall, from your perspective, what all goes on with it?
It's pretty much the same. It's just different drills and different teachings. You know, each staff has their own stamp on through the camps, and they got another one starting today about 9 o'clock, offensive and defensive line camp, and then later this afternoon, quarterback and receivers camp. But full speed ahead all this week. Started last Saturday, will end Saturday night. One of the top kids you saw come on campus this week was Ray Curry, a 2020 offensive lineman from Memphis White Station High School. More than 30 offers, 6'5", 320 pounds. Very impressive kid who says he's going to be coming back for several games this season. So he seemed to be pretty impressed with what he saw.
All right, Richard, we just got about a minute left. Is there going to be, you see, looking at your crystal ball, I guess is the best way to put it, but just any extra commits, any guys that are getting close, maybe narrowing their decision down when it comes to Arkansas? Because I know a lot of people are getting antsy when they don't see a lot of commitments right now, but the summer is a long time, and so there may be some guys that are looking to do it this summer too.
I think there's several. I think Colin Clay is a defensive end from Oklahoma. He's a possibility. I think Zach Williams from Joe T might be one on down the road during the summer. I can't say for sure. There's several other guys that seem to want to make a decision this summer. Marcus Major, a running back from Oklahoma City Millwood, who's definitely one of the top prospects in the country. He's an ESPN 300 kid. So those are just a few off the top of my head.
Richard, got about 30 seconds. Recruiting Thursday tonight. What's going on the show?
Got Mateo Soli, Shamar Nash on the show. Tom Lemming, national recruiting analyst, talking about those two guys and some other things. And then Carl Diffie, the head coach of North Panola High School, where quarterback K.J. Jefferson attends. He'll be on with us, too.
Richard Davenport of Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Great stuff, Richard. Catch up with you next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
You've been listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly. And thanks for downloading the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.